my chair, and I'm wondering how I get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Stuck in the middle with you.
That's the house band, Gus and Finn Plus One. Hello, I'm Clive Vance, and welcome to The Guessing Game. This is the quiz that refuses to dumb down the questions. I mean, why should we? It's much easier to dumb down the guests. And we've succeeded beyond our expectations this week. No, they're a brilliant team. Let's meet today's panel. First, we have a stand-up comedian who's been known to strip naked on stage. He leads a review in the Irish Times saying, lovely crack. He's... Since it's a radio show, we don't know whether he's naked or clothed tonight. We will find out later. It's Phil Nicol.
Hello.
Next, you played, is it Terry Gilliam you played in the Monty Python TV programme?
Yes, they did a film on BBC Four called Holy Flying Circus.
Yes.
Based around the days leading up to The Life of Brian, and I got to play the amazing Terry Gilliam.
And had you met him before? Have you met him afterwards?
No, I haven't met him. I wrote to him and asked him if he'd be interested in meeting me, and he wasn't.
Yeah.
So I played him really badly. It made him sound really stupid. I got him, huh?
Do you know, something really annoyed me. They made a film about Peter Cook, and they included in it a programme that I made with him. And so I thought, well, I must be up for this. You know, I'm up to playing myself. I didn't get a look in.
Schwarzenegger, something like that, Clive?
Danny DeVito.
Oh.
What? Oh, don't look sad. Danny DeVito's a big star. Yeah. Well, he's
not
a star.
Big. But anyway, let's go on to our next. We have a comic who's appeared in an ad for IKEA, where his acting was described as top draw. It's Paul Pirrie.
Hello. Hello there.
Is that right? Have I made that up? You appeared in an IKEA advert?
I don't know. Well, you can make things up if you want. It's IKEA.
Okay, now... Our last guest was a geography teacher, and that's just what this country needs. Fewer teachers, more stand-ups. He's best known for his short films for Comedy Central, where his co-star was a duck. Since then, he's gone on to appear with lots of other big stars, and the duck went on to appear with pancakes and a plum sauce attachment. It's Rob Ross.
Hello!
Okay, so that's set...
The duck, actually, Clive, was savagely murdered by a fox. Oh. While I was at home, went upstairs for a wee, and it was dead in the garden when I came down. So thanks for bringing that up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did the fox bring it up as well? But people like ducks, though, don't they?
Yes, she used to live in the flat. We lived in a ground floor basement flat with no gardens, so it's perfect place for having a completely incontinent animal roaming around the place. Mm. She was flightless as well because she's an Aylesbury duck, and she used to enjoy watching the titles of Emmerdale Farm. You know, when it flies over the hills, she'd just sit there on my lap, just kind of watching that, just slightly weeping. It was beautiful. Oh,
and incontinent, so it was a good experience. Let's kick off the programme.
We're going to have some fun. It's round one.
Thank you. Yes, indeed. Now, this round is anyone's guess. So, buzz in if you want to make a guess. So, question one. What's French and grows up to 6 inches when it starts to hot up? Paul.
Is it a French baby and then midget?
I see what we're doing there. So, you take a French baby and heat it up to some magic temperature and it turns into a midget. Is that the logic of what you're saying there?
Yes. And never give it a yo-yo. It's pointless.
I think you deserve a point for the most complicated answer there. You might be able to guess the real answer here if you thought about it. It's very French.
What temperature are we talking about, Clive?
We're talking as the weather gets hotter. So think of the most French thing you can think of.
Is it a French stick? Good.
Yes. Bridget Bardot.
That's
the Frenchest thing I could think
of. Okay, all right.
Do you mean, when you say stick, do you mean bread or just like a stick?
I meant...
Paul.
Is it an onion?
The audience is shouting out the right answer. The entire...
An onion in the shape of a French stick.
2 points. I'm giving 2 points to the audience who would go into a shock lead.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. That is so Scottish.
Yeah. the Eiffel Tower. It expands in the heat and it grows up to 6 inches. The points have gone to the audience. That's,
but they're not actually playing.
But they are now.
All right. Game on.
Next question. What didn't go well with Sir Francis Bacon?
Poached eggs. I said they go quite well.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'll give you a point for that. But
the lack of breath forever.
Yeah, you're close. Actually, oddly enough, you're close to the actual disease that killed him, which was caused by a foodstuff. A foodstuff killed him. Yeah, a chicken killed him. He died of pneumonia. He was a scientist, and he experimented to preserve the chicken by shoving snow up it. He stuffed it with snow, and this was in Highgate, and he made it, but he got so cold doing this experiment. He did prove that it preserved the chicken, but he got pneumonia and died, so he...
did he fall inside the chicken as well?
He didn't fall inside the chicken, he just accidentally got inside the chicken, and nothing was proved. Anyway, that's the end of the round. So that's good. That's put us out of our misery. I'll tell you what the scores are at the end of that round. Rob, you've got 1 point. Paul, you've got 1 point. Phil, Nicol, you've got 3 points.
So 3 points.
But always bear in mind the audience who aren't even playing this game have got 2 points. You're only one ahead of that. OK, let's have some more music. It's round two. Yes, indeed, it's round two. Now, that was... That's Gus and Finn plus one there, the house band. When I say house band, just means they've been trained to use the toilet indoors. They're originally stray musicians. We fed them, now we can't get rid of them. You'll hear several bars of the song before Gus and Finn stop playing, leaving a musical blank for you to fill in. So you just fill in the blank, but to make it more interesting, you have to do it in the way a famous person might do it. Well, the first one is Alex Salmon.
Fool fiscal control for the people of Scotland rather than cowing down to the old Etonians in London.
Very good. That was as though Alex Salmon in the room. Definitely deserves. I'll give you 2 points for that. So a little bit more music, and then you'll have to come in with the lyric as done by Sarah Palin.
Switch me on, turn me up.
Polar bear. You're a polar bear and you're not extinct, and I'm just going to get in this helicopter and I am going to shoot you dead.
Very good. 2 points there. I feel that was the right answer.
Yes, you're a moose and I'm going to shoot you dead too and put you on the war of my caravan.
I think that was just the same joke. Yeah.
You're a liberal. I'm going to shoot you dead and put you on the wall of my caravan.
Half a point for that.
You're a communist. I'm going to shoot you dead, put you on the wall of my caravan.
A quarter of a point for that. Yeah. It's the law of diminishing returns. Any more on that? No, we've...
She's bad talk.
I'm going to shoot myself.
Poached eggs.
All right, now, last section of music, and this time... Now, this is a challenge. You've got to be... The lyric as completed by Jack the Dog from the film The Artist, played by Uggy the Dog, I think. Admittedly, it's a silent film, and he's a dog. But there you go. It's a challenge for you, so let's have the bit of the song.
I need la, 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 la. I need ooh, la, 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 la. I need la, 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 la. I need la.
I really need a wee, but I can't open the back door because I can't operate the keys with me paws. I've done it on the kitchen floor. Too late.
Oh, I give you a point. Did we know that Uggy came from somewhere in Yorkshire? Is that
he was. He was a little terrier, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a terrier. Yeah. OK, you get your point, that was was live from Trucks.
Sausages. And poached eggs.
Surely it should be...
And bacon. Francis Bacon.
All right. Now, you'll recognise the music if you were fans of Ooh La La by Goldfrapp, one of Goldfrapp's most successful singles to date, peaking at number 4 in the official UK Top 40 charts. So you're going to play an excerpt. OK, go, take it away. Ooh La La. La 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 la. I need ooh la 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 la. I need la 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 la. I need ooh la 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 la. Everything sounds good on a ukulele. Everything. So the scores are well. You're being stretched. Paul Pirrie, you've only stretched to 3 points so far, so you've got a little way to go on the final round. Rob Ross, 5¾. Ooh. So that's not bad. But way in the lead, Phil Nicol with 10.5 points.
Ooh. It's round three.
We now come to a specialist round. It's humans against animals. But while we do this round, Gus and Finn Plus One will entertain the audience some more ukulele-fying while the panellists write their answers. It's a very interesting concept, this, because here come the questions once the music started. Question one. What musical instrument can you make out of cats? If you're having a particularly boring visit to Edinburgh Zoo, how might a spot of pandiculation wake you up a bit? Then what's the most complex thing an animal will laugh at? The most complex thing an animal will laugh at. OK, so you've had plenty of time to come up with lots of interesting answers.
Loads of time.
At least 20 seconds more than if it was a quick-fire round. OK, so question one. Rob, what musical instrument can you make out of cats?
Drums. If you arrange the cats, different size cats...
Yes.
..into the shape of a drum kit...
Yes.
..the larger ones will make a deeper noise and you use that as, like, your bass cat...
Yeah.
So that's and they have a really big fat cat as your kick drum. You just kick that when it goes wow, wow.
Yeah.
And then a slightly tighter strung cat for your snare drum.
Yes.
Wow. 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 And then you just kinda and you just tap a very small kitten just for your hi hat, like it's hard to play and do, but it's hard to do the kind of represent it, but it does work. Yeah, trust me, yeah, it really does work.
Very well done. Well, see. Okay, yeah, no, I'm so, Paul Pirrie, have you got anything like that or anything different?
I bought bagpipes.
Bagpipes?
Yeah, you stick it under your arm.
Yes. That's also plausible.
And blow up its bum if you want to get in for it.
Certainly make it squeal a bit louder if you blow up its bum.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried grabbing hold of a cat like that and see how far you get with it? They can...
Yeah, it's called bagpiping.
They can be pretty vicious, but that's a plausible answer. That's two good answers. Phil, have you got as good an answer as those two?
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah, sure, yeah. I think you can make what is called a tube whistle. Which is a Canadian instrument, which a lot of people here probably haven't heard of. It's where you take the cat and you swing it really quickly in the air, and as it speeds up, and you can hear it on almost any Paul Simon album. So it's,
yes. Okay, well, those are three good answers, if I may say. So I'll give you all a point for the goodness of your answers. But I think I'll give another 1 point to Paul, another bonus point, but 2 bonus points to Rob, because you have basically described what's on the card, only it was designed by a German, but he called it the cat piano in the 17th century. It basically was a row of cats in cages arranged in order of what note they yelp when their tails are pressed by the keyboard they are attached to. So although you were hitting it sort of manually and calling it a drum, that's basically your idea, isn't it? Only he had it in the 17th
century. Did he just work at a cat rescue centre and he just got really bored? So I forgot to mention, you always have one cat as well that you tune up he do coughs up a furball to order.
Yeah.
It's a bit like scratching. He's like, oh, yeah. Like, if you want to do a hip hop beat, so you're. You get the whole kind of hip hop thing going.
Can I just say, don't try this at home?
Yeah.
Just cruel to cats. And
you need to gain their trust before you can organise that kind of.
Gain their trust.
That's half the battle.
Betray their trust rather rapidly. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to live as a cat for at least 4 years before they will let you play them.
You speak of someone who's tried that. Whereas the bagpipes idea has a simplicity to it. You just do it once and your whole shoulder is taken off by the claws. But at least it's a plausible sound. OK, we did very well on that question. What was your answer to if you're having a particularly boring visit to Edinburgh Zoo, how might a spot of pandiculation wake you up a bit?
I went round Edinburgh Zoo when I was at the festival and it was one of the bleakest moments of my life. Was seeing a tiger just sat there like that in the rain. You can see just quite. I used to live in Sumatra, and then I got a bang on the head, and I ended up here. This was not in my life plan. It really was not. Shoot me, travel agent. This is ridiculous.
Paul Perry, have you got an answer?
I just put it's something you get from a junkie.
Is that because that's your answer to most questions,
yeah. Or
is
that? Have you got any some pandulation, pal? You want some pandulation? Going to get some pandulation, man.
All right, I got right pandulated last night, man. I was pandulated off my face, you know.
I'm not pandulated, I've got two black eyes.
You definitely get a point for that, but pandiculation, it turns out, is the act of stretching and yawning at the same time. What's the most complex thing an animal will laugh at? I don't know if you should start with this, Phil. Let's come back to you.
Well, I imagine it's the knock-knock joke.
Which particular knock-knock joke?
Knock-knock.
Who's there? OK, Paul Perry, have you got a...
I just put Platoon.
Platoon, the movie?
Yeah. Oh, see, I thought you were actually talking about the making of Platoon, which is even more difficult if an animal is there watching them make the film. That's quite complex. That's even more complex.
That's more complex.
Yeah.
The making of Platoon.
Rob, have you got an answer to this?
Well, my dog, he gets freaked out if he breaks wind. Because he's usually
not
asleep.
Normal in dogs. No,
he's usually asleep by the fire.
Yeah.
And there's a horrible, there's a strange kind of noise like that. Yeah. And then the stench of. It's really hard to describe.
Yeah.
Just fills the room, and then he wakes up. The kind of the noise wakes him up, and then he runs around barking, chasing his tail. So I don't know if he finds it, but he doesn't laugh at Radio 4. So I don't know whether. So I know what that. I think that's empirical evidence that farts are funny, even for animals. Now,
is your evidence here that he's laughing at his own fart, or he's disturbed by his own fart?
I think there's a fine line between laughter and disturbance. He's definitely enjoying it.
What breed of dog is this that he's...
He's a mongrel. He's all sorts. Yeah, he's a bit of... I think he's essentially... I think his conception was some quite horrific, you know, group activity on a piece of waste
panda,
ground.
Having a rare outing from me.
Yeah, it wasn't like Lady and the Tramp, Clive, I don't think. Two star-crossed lover dogs dancing the night away and eating spaghetti together. It was...
It can be quite brutal.
I think his mother was trying to break a world record at the time.
But oddly enough, the answer is physical contact, such as wrestling, tickling, or playing chase. That's the only thing they find amusing. This is why animals have so far failed to commission themselves even one critically acclaimed sitcom. Paul Perry, you've gone racing on to 8 points.
Ooh.
Rob Ross, yes, well done. Rob Ross has got 8¾ points, but still way in the lead is Phil Nicol with 11½ points. I'm glad we did that. I love animals. Fish, chicken, bacon. I'm starving now. Anyway, done the points?
I said, whoa, whoa, I said, whoa,
whoa. It's round four.
Yes, indeed. And sadly, it's the last round. Oh. You may argue with sadly, I don't know. In this round, we've searched the audience for people with an interesting story to tell, and I give the panel 3 clues, and then each panellist will get the chance to quiz our victim or volunteer for 30 seconds. At the end of that time, the panellists must put together the information they have gleaned from audience and the clues to guess the story, and the person who gets closest to the story will get the points. Now, have we got David Alexander? Is he in the audience? Oh, David Alexander, will you do stand up, please? Thank you very much. So, are you ready for this, David?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Excellent. Jolly good. So, to make it easy for you, or at least easier for you, I'm going to tell you that David has a story, and his story involves him getting his collar felt by someone very famous. So your clues are ear defenders, a football, City of Angels. Phil Nicol, you're going to start. So you've got your 30 seconds to pose your question, starting now.
Okay, did you want your collar to be felt by this person?
No.
No, you didn't. And did you enjoy having your collar felt by this person?
Eventually.
And were you wearing the shirt at the time?
No.
You weren't. So it was something you bought afterwards, shirt you bought afterwards?
No purchasing involved.
No purchasing. Were you in the city of Los Angeles?
Yes.
You were. Do you work in the football industry?
No.
Have you ever played football?
Yes.
That's a lucky break. Have you ever played football? Man, in Glasgow. You're making good progress, but I think you're a bit slow with your progress. Maybe they should have given you, like, 3 hours. You might have got there. But have you got any idea what the story might be?
Are you a man?
I think so, yes.
Okay.
That's as far as you've got.
Yes.
The story's about a man.
He's a man with a collar. Get his collar felt in Los Angeles whilst playing football.
Okay. Yep. That may be the closest we're going to get. That may win you the points. So, Paul Perry, you've now got your 30 seconds to pose your questions, and you'll have your attempt at the story. Where you go.
Are you a priest? Is your collar made of felt?
No.
Okay. Football. What team do you support?
No.
No. Save Angels Food. Do you not work in the church?
No.
What's your favourite colour? Who's your favourite band? What size shoes have you got? What's that belt on?
Poached eggs.
Poached eggs, good. Where are you from?
Uddingston.
Uddingston. Good. Lovely place. Born and bred.
You're having your colour felt. Doesn't mean it's made of felt. It means it has been... feeling has happened to that collar, and it's a well-known expression.
Could have been made of felt.
Anyway, have you got a story you can make up with?
I don't know. You were playing football and somebody dragged you off the pitch because you were playing for the wrong team?
No.
I'm afraid you've kind of given the game away. It might not be the winner with your very definite no. Anyway, Rob, you've got your 30 seconds. You could win this, Rob.
David, would you consider yourself to be an honest man?
Yes.
No further questions, Clyde, your witness. Thank you. Interesting. What was the man called this story involves, David?
I'm sorry?
This is evasion, Your Honour. This is evasion. He's evading answering the question, Clyde.
Fair question.
Your witness. Now, you're in Los Angeles, and football involves...
Yes.
David Beckham plays football in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Were you arrested by David Beckham? Who was posing as a member of the LAPD, which he is not. So is it, technically, was it a citizen's arrest? Were you trying to touch David Beckham whilst he ran past you on it? Because who wouldn't? I mean, he's gorgeous. As he ran past... I've got two kids, I would. And as he ran past, did you try and get involved, and were you arrested as a result? Just tell me, man!
All right, I'm going to call a halt there. I think we're discovering more about you in that. than anything.
I'm lulling into a false sense of security. Clive, your witness.
What I'm going to do now, David Alexander, if I can get you to tell us your story, if you would.
Okay, thank you. I was staying in Los Angeles in Beverly Hills Hilton in 2003. And at 1 a.m. there was some noise emanating from the pool area. I called the reception to complain, and the noise stopped about 20 minutes later. So I got up the next morning and I bumped into a gentleman who looked very like Ruud van Nistelrooy, who at the time played for Manchester United. Became aware of a large group gathering behind me, and as I was checking out, a hand reached onto my shoulder and said, "So is this the man who complained?" And I turned round to find Sir Alex Ferguson feeling my collar. We had a bit of a chat, we had a bit of a laugh, and thankfully he let me leave intact.
Well done, good story, David. You took on Sir Alex Ferguson and lived to tell the tale. And you've literally told the tale tonight. Now, which of our panellists got closest to that story? And I would have to say, My feeling was that none of them got very close.
Well, I have to say, I feel that Rob got the closest with someone from Manchester United feeling my collar.
I think that deserves a full 3 points.
Thank you very much.
Can I contest that? Because I went first, meaning that Rob had the benefit of our fine questioning between Paul Berry and I. And therefore, we should be sharing those points. What do you think, everybody?
Phil Nicol, it's a...
Oh, come on!
It's a comedy quiz. It's not your A-levels or your highs or whatever. Okay, well, I'm afraid that's the end of the quiz with that exciting story. That's half an hour you're never going to get back unless you go to the BBC iPlayer and listen again. One last time, let's add up the scores. I think they all did pretty well. Well, maybe not, but anyway, so... Now, Paul Pirrie, I thought you played this game very well. You're sharp, you're on the ball, you've lots of good ideas, and you came last. You got 8
yes.
points. So, Phil Nicol, you were brilliant throughout the programme.
Yes.
You were way, way ahead for most of the programme.
Yes.
And you got a total of 11.5 points, which is a fantastic score.
Yes.
So, well done, Phil Nicol. This is not a fiddle. We just randomly rather gave you 3 points. I gave out some quarters and some halves early on. Rob Rouse, you've won it with 11.75 points. Oh. Who could have guessed?
Yeah. I hold that man, David Alexander, responsible.
Who could have guessed that winner and that close? I certainly couldn't have guessed. Well done, everybody. That's the end of our programme. All that remains for me is to thank all of my guests today, Phil Nicol, Paul Pirrie and Rob Rouse. You've been listening to The Guessing Game, the show with some of the craziest estimations since the Edinburgh trams went out to tender. So this is me, Clive Allison, saying goodbye. Goodbye. Well, I don't
know why I came here tonight. The Guessing Game was presented by Clive Anderson and written by Michael Beck. It was produced by Margaret Ann Doherty. Clowns to the left of me.